Power 98.7 podcast. You're listening to Apelele Somi on Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
All right, 10 minutes before 3 o'clock. Time flies when you're having great conversations, doesn't it? Well, we're having another conversation now. We're talking about the black middle class illusion. Writer for Genius Level, joining us in the studio, Dimo Wamuraswisekeli. Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, you said it
correctly. I practiced. And also joining us on the line is Professor Hlonipha Mokoena, who is Associate Professor from WISER, Wits Institute for Social and Economic Research. Thank you so very much to Prof for joining us as well. Welcome.
Thank you for the wonderful welcome.
Oh, wow. I really cannot wait for us to get into this conversation because I think it's going to be a good one. Dimo, let me start with you. You pinned down this very interesting article, shared some of your thoughts with us with regards to the illusion, as you call it, of the black middle class. And you say black for a reason. Share with us what some of these thoughts are.
Well, basically, what we're trying to... Okay, let me thank you for having me here first.
A pleasure.
So, basically, when I wrote that article, I wrote that article under the impression that we, as black people, have been lied to.
We lying to ourselves?
Well, debatable. Basically, we are victims. I want to put it in a sense that we're victims.
Right.
Because we're victims of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We're victims of class.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're basically trying to do is that they're trying to define us with class in that sense, so they can market a certain class of people and then all of us can aspire to be in a certain class.
Mm.
So you find people that don't really fit in that class, forcing it to make it into that class. So,
who is this they that you're referring to? They are marketing. They are lying to us. Who is they?
Those are the capitalists.
Mm.
I don't want to mention race, but
right.
We know who are capitalists.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Prof, what do you make of this so-called illusion of the black middle class?
Well, I think actually, although the article is a very powerful indictment of marketing, historically, it's actually not really particularly true that the black middle class has always been just about consumption. In fact, just to give you an example, a colleague of mine is actually involved in a project of digitizing the wills written by black South Africans from the late 19th century and early 20th century. And most of it is about assets. It's about people leaving things behind for their children, from money to welcome Dover stoves, to pianos, to all sorts of items that are in the wills. And it's not debt. Most of it is not about debt. And so the idea that the black middle class has always been about debt actually, in some ways, warps the history of black people in South Africa and doesn't really give the true sense of what actually apartheid took away from black people.
Yeah.
Precisely because it took away that potential of wealth creation. It didn't take away their debt.
Yeah.
And this is what was ironic about apartheid, is that while it took away black people's ability to create wealth, it didn't take away their debt.
Mm.
So the issue of black indebtedness is also a historical one and not just purely a kind of recent invention of the marketing industry.
Yeah. But, you know, when I was going through the article myself, I kept on scratching my head a little bit and thinking, maybe there is a strong element of truth in the sense that we tend to consume and consume and consume. And a lot of the time, you know, if we consider ourselves to be part of the bracket of black middle class, we're more concerned about, you know, spending more money than we actually have because of these impressions that we want to make, and also what our idea of success is quite informed by the material possessions that we possess. You didn't get that sense, Prof?
Yes, that's true as well. But again, here the very notion of consumption is also political because, for example, if you see somebody at a supermarket trying to make a decision between buying a no-name brand packet of rice and like testic, for example, what conclusions do you reach? Do you reach the conclusion that the person is aspiring to something because they are trying to choose between testic and some other no-name brand? Or do you reach the conclusion that the person is a wise budgeting human being who's basically thinking, why should I pay more for something when I can pay less?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we politicize consumption. And actually to the detriment of understanding what it is that motivates people to buy certain things and not others, to aspire to certain things and not others. As I say, a couple of decades ago, Owning a car was considered to be aspirational.
Right.
Now, most people would say owning a car is a necessity. I need to get from A to B.
Mm.
And so these notions of what is good and bad consumption have changed. And they are also influenced by class, where other people will influence your way of consuming because you also want to be seen in a good or a bad light by other people.
Yeah.
And so it's always the case that somebody else's consumption is bad, but your own consumption is good. And that has been part of human history.
Yeah.
You always look at the other people and say, oh, those people are wasting their money, they're wasting their time, they are vain, they are fickle. That's a term that used to be used a lot for black people in the 19th century.
Mm.
Missionaries used to love saying black people are fickle consumers because black people would say, oh, that's last year's fashion, I want something new this year. And missionaries would use that term. So it's always someone else's consumption that I think is bad, but it's never quite your own. That is considered to be bad.
Dimo, let me come back to you. Do you perhaps feel that maybe we're too judgmental when it comes to how people choose to spend their money and display their opulence?
No, we're not judging them. We're trying to save them, actually. Because now we've realized that the state is growing. South Africa's number one when it comes to being in debt.
Wow.
56% of people fail to pay back their bonds.
Mm.
Roughly 50% of people fail to pay back the credit card.
Mm.
I mean, you find that now people use credit card to buy groceries, use credit. And another funny thing that I find is that credit is convenient.
Yeah.
Have you ever been online, tried to shop for something?
Mm.
Even if you have cash, you need credit card for that.
Yeah.
And then the thing about credit card is that it is like a drug.
Mm.
Once you go in, there's no going back.
Yeah.
This month you'll spend 200, the next month you replace the 230 rand because they charge interest.
Yeah.
And then the other month you you keep going deep and deep and deep, and then before you know it, you can't go back out.
Mm.
So this is not a judgmental thing. Yes, she's right. We have now cars are a necessity.
Yeah.
But are fancy cars a necessity?
Mm.
Do you have to drive an SUV?
Mm.
That's where the problem come in. Another thing is that, let me say, maybe you live 5 minutes away from where you walk. You don't basically need a car. You can walk there.
Yeah.
So why you need a car?
Mm.
And then you find a family of three with two cars. Mm. Is that necessary?
What I find, I think, most hilarious is where you end your piece by saying, living a Hennessy life on a first watch income is working against us.
Exactly.
Mm.
Because you have a shortfall. You know, first watch is cheap and Hennessy is expensive.
Yeah.
So that shortfall, someone has to account for that. And from your salary, you can't make it. So what's going to happen? You're going to accumulate a debt that you'll never be able to pay back.
Mm.
So this another thing that we've noted is that it's going to come back to harm your generation, the next generation, and the next generation, because now, like now, we have students' fees going up.
Yeah.
You find that you won't be able to pay for your child's fees.
Yeah.
That's something that can be avoided. If you invest 300 per month from now, by the time your child is 18, they'll be able to afford those fees.
I'm so sad that the time for this conversation has really come to an end. But I would love to have a quick response from you, Prof.
Yeah, I would like to say that the problem of indebtedness is a worldwide problem. And it's partly to do with exactly the fact that although we are still the same human beings, we've got two legs, two arms, we now have more things to consume. So again, I'll use an example of a cell phone. We all now think, oh, I need a cell phone. But do you really need an iPhone? Not really.
Yeah.
Do you really need the latest Samsung Galaxy, whatnot? Not really. But what happens is that people are offered these options, and they are offered ways of paying for those options in ways that
seem reasonable.
Right. But let me give you an example then of how indebtedness is a worldwide problem. In the U.S., I used to read these columns that were designed to help people get out of debt.
Mm.
And guess what the first suggestion for how do you get out of debt is? Is you must take your credit cards, put them in a jar of water or a plastic bag of water and freeze them in the freezer. So the assumption is that you have more than one credit card. So that's what is the problematic. It's not that you just have, it's not that you have one credit card that's putting you in debt. It's that you have several credit cards. So in the U.S., for example, the more credit you have, the more you are offered credit by banks.
Wow.
So many people end up with 5, 6, even 7 credit cards from different banks. And so that problem is a worldwide problem. And it is really about this unlimited amount of things you can consume in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you can stop human beings from desiring what other people have. You know, when you're sitting at a wedding and the person next to you is taking their beautiful photographs with their Galaxy, whatever, then you suddenly look at your own phone and your own modest phone, and it looks so, you know, unrealistic in comparison to the other person.
Correct.
And you cannot stop human beings from comparing themselves in that way. And you may criticize capitalists as much as you like, but capitalists are taking advantage of our human condition. They are not, they're not inventing our human condition.
That's quite correct. And we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so very much, Professor Hlonipha Mokoena, for availing yourself for the conversation. Associate Professor from Wits Institute for Social and Economic Research. People who want to read your article and read some more of your works, how can they do so, Dumi?
Well, they can. Dimo. Yes, what they can do, they can just Google Dimo Omarasuskele, or they can go to Genius Level. Every day we update new articles, so they'll find a lot of articles there.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much for your time, Dimo Omarasuskele, who is a writer at Genius Level, talking to us about the black middle class illusion. Do peruse that article. Very fascinating read, without a doubt. It is 3 o'clock now. Your 3 o'clock news of the Mposi Thole coming up. A big thank you to Mo. A big thank you to Sibongile Kanqa. We're back in your company again tomorrow between 1 and 3. From my heart to yours, it's all love.